ones will be prepared. That's because Berkey systems are able to purify raw, untreated water. Check out our Christmas specials at BerkeyWater.com. With one of our quantity specials, you not only get a discount.
Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Mr. Richard Jaffe, who's an attorney who's defended a lot of people involved in the medical profession. Among them, certainly his most famous case was the one by Dr. Baczynski, who the government went out to get because, of course, he had a very effective treatment for cancer, and even though they admitted it was an effective treatment, they wanted to put him in prison because some of his clients actually carried the medicine he gave them across state lines. And what a terrible crime that was. And they went after him time and again, and they indicted him time and time again, and they prosecuted him time and time again. And, well, they've left him alone pretty well, haven't they, for some time, Richard? Richard, are you there? Well, we seem to be having some difficulty. I'm going to ask my producer out there to see if we can get our engineer. Richard, are you there? Well, we don't seem to be able to hear Richard, so I'm going to ask our producer to see what he can come up with. But certainly Richard has been doing a great job in defending people in the medical profession for some time. Richard, are you there? Well, I still can't hear him, so I've got my engineer working on this. But anyway, today we're going to be talking about the problem of bioidentical hormones. And apparently the people within the FDA...
Hello?
Yeah, there we are. We finally got hold of you. Okay, fine. Thank you so very much.
All right,
fine. I don't know what we have, but fortunately my engineer got things fixed so I can hear you. Anyway, we were just telling our listeners just a little bit about your career and as a lawyer defending Dr. Baczynski. Are they leaving Dr. Baczynski alone pretty well now?
They have. It's been since the end of the criminal case in 97. He's been pretty much free and clear from the criminal FDA part. Now what he's doing, he's mired in the FDA approval process, and he's pretty well stuck in that now.
All right, fine. And, Chris, well, the problem is that an awful lot of people are dying of cancer unnecessarily, but that doesn't seem to bother the bureaucracy. They're much more worried about the paperwork than they are about human suffering. Well, anyway, you wanted to talk today about the issue of bioidentical hormones, so you better explain to our listeners what bioidentical hormones are and why this is such an issue with the bureaucracy who wants to regulate every aspect of our lives.
Well, bioidentical hormones are hormones that are physically or physiologically identical to the hormones we have in our body, and that is in distinction and contrast to the hormone replacement therapy that's available from pharmaceutical companies, like products like Premarin, which is made from the urine of pregnant female horses. So right now there's a big battle going on between the FDA and the pharmaceutical companies on one hand and the alternative docs or the anti-aging doctors and the compounding pharmacists who use bioidentical hormones as to whether they can do it or not.
And now, where do the bioidentical hormones come from? Are these from soy, or what are they coming from?
Yeah, well, the bioidentical hormones are made from plant material, could be from soy, or actually a lot of them are made from different kinds of yam roots, wild yams. And what they do is they are bioidentical, but you just don't crush yams. You have to go through some chemical processes, and then the resulting product is identical in chemical composition to the hormones found in a human body.
And certainly, but not bioidentical to the ones that come from horses or other animals or where they seem to be making them. When we get back here, of course, we're going to find out why they're doing everything they can to block the use of something that's helpful to humans. Well, Richard, why are they doing this? Does it have to do with the pharmaceutical industry that doesn't want the competition? What is the motivation behind the effort to block the use of bioidentical hormones?
Well, I think you're right. I think it's primarily pharmaceutical companies. See, they have patented products, and you can't patent a lot of these bioidentical hormones because they're like say, from wild yam roots and things like that. So what they've done is they've taken things like hormones from mares and other materials and patented them, and that's what they're selling. The problem, of course, is that we now know that a lot of the hormones that are used in traditional hormone replacement therapy are carcinogenic and cause heart attacks and strokes. I mean, that's now understood, and that's accepted. And so the fallback position of the pharmaceutical industry and even the OBGYN is that, well, it may be dangerous, but it's a woman's decision whether they should bear the risk of an increased heart attacks or cancer in order to treat the symptoms of menopause and hot flashes and all that kind of thing. So, I mean, it's really, you know, appalling. And the argument that the FDA makes is that bioidentical hormones haven't been proven they haven't been proven to be as unsafe as conventional hormone therapy, because we know that stuff is unsafe. We know it's carcinogenic, and we know it causes heart disease, heart attack.
Well, of course, now, is this basically you cannot prove that? I mean, it would take a tremendous amount of money. We're talking about probably hundreds of millions of dollars to do clinical studies on that to prove that, and yet chemically they're just about the same, aren't they?
Well, that's right. They are identical, whereas we know that conventional hormone replacement therapy is really only identical to the hormones found in horses. So I think there's some technical scientific reasons why they know that, say, for example, this synthetic estrogen from horses causes thickening of the endometrial lining or something like that. So, I mean, they have fairly good explanations of why these products are so carcinogenic. And, you know, just logically, if something's identical to something in the body and such that it's not distinguishable, at least it seems to me that's a better choice than something that's just from a different species. I mean, that's just the logic of it.
All right, fine. Well, what are they doing then? How are they blocking the use of these bioidentical hormones?
Well,
I'm going to have you hold that, because
sure,
we're going to bring our other stations back on board here in just a moment. Our guest is Mr. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Mr. Richard Jaffe. And Mr. Jaffe is an attorney, and of course he of course has defended certainly people that we've been in contact with and worked with in the past. People like Dr. Brzezinski down there in Houston, and of course Dr. Houston was targeted by the FDA for destruction, and of course the excuse was, why, of course, he had a treatment for cancer, but he couldn't use it. They did not want it used. They did everything they could to destroy him, to send him to prison. It really doesn't make much sense, but a lot of things don't make sense. And Mr. Richard Jaffe, I was stuck with him over a period of many, many years, and at least Dr. Brzezinski now is just mired down with paperwork and can't get much accomplished and can't help people, but the FDA is happy and leaving him alone. Now the next campaign is the bioidentical hormones. The bioidentical hormones are hormones that are produced from yams and other things that are identical. They're exactly the same as the hormones that are produced in the human body. Well, of course, the estrogen that are given clinically and that have been thoroughly studied come from, pregnant mares. And, of course, they know that they produce breast carcinoma and endometrial carcinoma and heart disease. And, of course, but many of the people say, well, they ought to go ahead and use it because the symptoms of menopause are so disturbing as far as women is concerned. But then there's the alternative. Why not use exactly the same hormone that can be actually produced? It's identical to the hormones in the human body. But, of course, the FDA doesn't want that done because the drug companies have make an awful lot of money. And I hate to say this, but this is the major driving force behind this. And, unfortunately, the FDA, many of these people, when they get through working for the government, then they go to work for the drug companies. And we do not have impartial people working in our government. I think we ought to do away with the FDA and have this managed on the state-by-state level. At least it would be a lot more harder to bribe the officials in 50 states than in one central site back in Washington, D.C. But you pick up the story, what's happening to the people who are trying to utilize the bioidentical hormones exactly like those produced by the human being, and yet they don't want them to be used. So go ahead.
Well, in 2005, one of the big drug companies, Wyeth, and I think they're the makers of Premarin, filed what's called a citizen's petition with the FDA complaining about the use by compounding pharmacists of natural estriol, which is not approved by the FDA. So they filed a request that the FDA stop its use.
And basically, this is something that the pharmacists can mix up probably at a fraction of the price that the pharmaceuticals get.
Oh, yeah, it's cheaper, and of course it's bioidentical.
I should simply point out, I think it's just Pfizer that is buying up Wyeth for $68 billion. $68 billion. Pfizer's buying up Wyeth. So you know, there's big money here. My goodness, you know. And forget about the people. Forget about whether
billions of dollars. I mean, it's literally billions of dollars, right, and millions of women that are on this hormone replacement therapy. So you know, they have a multi-billion-dollar interest in making sure that people take their products, which we know are carcinogenic and which we know causes heart infarctions and disease, and we know causes strokes. I mean, we know that. That's not debatable anymore.
But, of course, they do not know, and there's no evidence that bioidentical hormones do produce any of these problems, and yet they say, well, you've got to prove they don't produce the problems before we'll let you use them. Is that the way it's going?
Well, that's the argument. And so, you know, it's one thing when you have a drug that works and doesn't have side effects. You know, then you can say, well, if you have something unproven, but we know that this hormone, conventional hormone replacement therapy is bad. So, you know, and people have been using bioidentical hormones for 20 or 30 years, and there's really almost no reported incidents among the practitioners of any adverse effects. So, I mean, you know, there are hundreds of doctors around the country that have been using it for quite some time, and you just don't see any immediate side effects. And you know, it's just, you don't really see the problems. The real issue here is that it was originally a battle between the compounding pharmacists that said that they have the right to use, to compound products like this natural estriol, and Wyeth and the FDA said that they didn't. And it gets a little complicated because of some federal legislation that they passed, but they partially invalidated. But, you know, what happened is a couple years ago, about a year and a half ago, FDA sent letters to a bunch of compounding pharmacists telling them that it was illegal to use any ingredient that wasn't specifically approved by the FDA. And that's what started things off in I think, early 08 or the end of 07. And that created a kind of outrage in the industry because up until that point, it was widely accepted that compounding pharmacists can make products by using ingredients that are not specifically FDA approved. And not only was it commonly accepted, it's actually in the FDA law. It actually says that compounders can use products that are not FDA approved as long as they're well described. But how it got complicated was that the Supreme Court invalidated a portion of that FDA Modernization Act. So and even though the Supreme Court didn't address the issue of whether compounders can still do what they're allowed to do under the act, the FDA is taking the position that the whole act is gone, that there's no FDA act with respect to these compounders, and the FDA is free to regulate them however they want. And that's the big battle right now.
Okay, fine. Now, are you on the front lines of this battle as usual?
Well, you know, I think so. I mean, what's happening is, let's put, I typically come in for the doctors, not so much for the tradespeople. So in the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, the battle has been between the compounding pharmacists and the FDA. Now, where I get involved is for the doctors. That's normally who my clients are. So what's happened is, in the last few months, the FDA has expanded its attack and is starting to attack and question doctors. So, and this is why the interesting thing that's happened the last couple months and why I wanted to really come on your show. So what's happened is the FDA is starting writing letters to doctors saying that they're not even allowed to prescribe these natural compounds. You know, even though, you know, and that's wrong on a couple counts. The FDA can't really tell a doctor what they can and cannot prescribe. Only state law can. So what they're doing is going around and, you know, in a heavy-handed manner, threatening doctors with prosecution, with civil injunctions, just because they're prescribing these natural hormones. And that's where I come in. And I represent many of the doctors who are involved in that. And you know, the FDA hasn't taken any legal action yet, but what happens is a lot of these doctors just don't know any better. And the FDA wants them to file what's called an IND, you know, an investigational new drug application.
But then the new drug has been around for 40 years, huh?
Right. And you know, doctors have a very difficult time, as we know from Brzezinski, you know, testing drugs. It takes, you know, thousands and tens and hundreds of thousands of pieces of paper and all kinds of money and staff. And they're telling doctors that if you want to use this drug, you have to file an IND, which is just ridiculous. It's not the case.
So basically, where do we stand at the present time?
Well, so we've fought them to a standstill, in the sense that there's been no legal action yet filed against a doctor. They're requesting these doctors to not to do it and or file INDs if they want to do it. Our position is, and for the doctor that I represent, we don't agree. We think we have the right to write the prescription for these compounds, and we're doing it until, you know, some court says we can't. So right now we're kind of in a Mexican standoff.
Well, because if you have to file this, you know, investigative drug forms, you know, then you got to do all sorts of paperwork. The average doctor doesn't have time.
They don't
to
have
do
the time. I mean, they're just it's impossible for a practitioner to work under the confines of an IND. The paper requirements, then you have to have a board, a special board, an institutional review board. It's very, very difficult. I mean, I don't know, other than Brzezinski, who does his own clinical trials, and he has a support staff of dozens of people just filling in the paperwork. I mean, it's practically impossible.
Well, it reminded me of what Cicero said about, you know, the budget should be balanced, and the arrogance of the bureaucracy should be tempered. The arrogance of the
right.
bureaucracy. And this is what we've got. Really, there's no justification at all under our Constitution for the FDA to be doing what it's doing, and it will target people. And, of course, unfortunately, we're talking about billions of dollars, and if you don't believe that our government officials will usually be swayed by the fact that when they quit, they can go to work for these companies, they'll be richly rewarded. And where is the outcry? Why, there is no outcry. They just put a tax evader in as a Secretary of the Treasury, a fellow who he wants to be Secretary of the Treasury and direct the whole Treasury Department, the IRS, but he just forgot to pay his taxes over a number of years and filled out forms saying he was going to pay the taxes and he knew what he was doing. And this is the sort of corruption we have in a society. What are we going to do about it, Richard? How can anything be done? It's almost like we as little people out here, the practicing physicians, people like me here on the radio, the listeners of the program, doctors know and most of them want to do exactly what's right for their patients, and they'll be blocked intentionally and purposely and maliciously from doing it. What can be done?
Well, that's a good question, and that's a mouthful. I mean, I think guys like me, we fight the little battles, the battles that we can fight, like standing up to the FDA for doctors and trying to make sure that patients still have access to this hormone, bioidentical hormone replacement treatment. You know, on some of the bigger issues, I mean, I guess the problem is really not so much government, which is the effect of it, but the drug companies. They basically infect the government and get the government to do its bidding. And frankly, I think they also have their hand in the whole medical profession and in education of the doctors. And they give so much money away that it creates, I think they're part of the public health crisis.
Hold up. We'll be right back. Well, I guess it's Richard Jaffe, and he's just saying that I totally agree with him, that the pharmaceutical industry has undue influence on the practice of medicine, and their influence is not aimed at helping people. At one time, I believe the drug companies were interested in helping people, but that is simply a remembrance of things past. Now it's all a bottom line. And when we see Wyeth, of course, that's primarily involved in this because their manufacturer of Premarin being sold for $68 billion. You realize, of course, what we're really dealing with. And, they will go to any extent to protect their market share. Whether it is harmful to women, whether it is, they're blocking effective treatments, they really don't care. It's all the bottom line. Do you have this feeling, Richard?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think they're really at the heart of the problem. And I think that, this image that we have that they try to put out there that these noble drug companies are hard at work doing innovative science and putting out new and wonderful products. I mean, that just isn't the case anymore. I mean, that just doesn't really happen in this day and age. And most people don't know it. I mean, I think it's pretty well established that most of the new innovative drugs come from either government, NIH, or government-funded research, or small biotech companies that have the rights for these drugs bought up by the big companies. So, I mean, there's a total disconnect between the way these drug companies operate and the perception that they've managed to really put the false perception that they've put on the government, on the people.
And I think it's important that people begin to understand this. Certainly, we carry a wonderful book by Dr. Marshall Angel. It's entitled What You Should Know About the Drug Companies. Dr. Angel was formerly the editor of the New England Journal of Medicine. Do you know her case at all? Do you know who she is?
Oh, of course. Well, I've read her book, and what I'm saying is coming from her book, and some of them is coming from my book, of course. But that book... What you should know about the drug companies. There's a couple books like that. There's another book by another former head of the New England Journal, and that's what these books basically show, is that the drug companies have just perverted the whole drug approval process, and they bought off Congress, and with the outrage that a government can't negotiate with drug companies for Medicare drugs, and they've bought off the medical profession by giving all kinds of money to the doctors in the guise of education. And you know what they've also bought off, which I only suspected but really didn't know, is a lot of these societies or groups for the advocacy of certain diseases are really funded in large part by the drug companies. So you'll have a lot of these programs or groups that support services for different diseases, they're really drug companies sponsored promote drugs.
It's really unfortunate, but this unfortunately is the way things have gone. And I said it wasn't that way when I first got started practicing medicine, but it certainly was that way by the time I left the practice of medicine. And one of the reasons I'm just glad I'm not there anymore. I love medicine. I think it's a great noble profession, but it's really been raped and prostituted by the drug companies and, of course, by the government. And the combination between the drug companies and the government, why they've taken all the fun out of the practice of medicine. And most of the doctors I know practice with me, they look at me with envy and say, Stan, I wish I could afford to quit. I'd quit tomorrow. We'll be back in just a moment with Mr. Richard Jaffe. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I guess this is Mr. Richard Jaffe. We're talking about the attack on doctors who want to prescribe bioidentical hormones. Certainly, the FDA, and really it has nothing to do with what's good for people or protecting people. It has to do with big bucks, and as we pointed out, Wyeth was recently sold. They're the ones who produce the Premarin, the estrogen that's so prevalently used. They've just been sold for $68 billion to Pfizer. And the last thing they want is any competition. and bioidentical hormones cheaper, more efficient, and far less dangerous, of course, or a threat to them. And so their friends in the FDA are making the life of the doctors who are trying to prescribe these medications difficult. Are the doctors actually required under law to fill out these forms today, or is this simply being held over their heads in a way of intimidating them to keep them from doing what's best for their patients?
Well, you got that right. No, I don't believe that they're required to fill out an IND application just to prescribe a drug off-label or even a non-FDA-approved drug. I mean, there's no such requirement.
All right, fine. Well, then, of course, then what are you doing at the present time? Because I know you certainly would be engaged to be involved in this battle. Do you think this is coming down the line? Who is the FDA going after to try to stop this? Are they going after the pharmacists? Are they going after the manufacturers who manufacture the bioidentical hormones, the estrogens out of yams? What?
Well, they're going after the pharmacists. They've sent warning letters to 15 or 20 of the big pharmacies around the country, and so far the pharmacists are resisting, and because that wasn't working, then they started writing letters to the docs, you know, that they shouldn't prescribe them because these are prescriptions. So I guess their thinking was that if the FDA could stop the doctors from prescribing this stuff, because they knew darn well that no doctor that just has a practice is going to fill out the paperwork for an IND because it's just too onerous, then they could stop the compounders by forcing the docs not to make the prescriptions. And that's, like I said, that's where I come in. And I've written some articles, and I go around a lecture, and I'm telling these doctors that the FDA doesn't have the right to do it, to try to stop them, and that the compounders are right, that they have the right to make these products, and patients have the right to use them.
All right, fine. Well, of course, it's a constant battle between the massive bureaucracy, some of the finest bureaucrats that money could buy, in my estimation. It's the massive bureaucracy and, of course, the rights of the people. And because this has happened down through the ages. It happened in every civilization. It's happening here. And it's only going to end when the people demand their freedom and get the government off our backs. And people are going to have to look after themselves. They're going to have to do some research and study. And we got to use the courts, you know. If somebody comes up with a product that is really dangerous and bad, why, of course, they should be subject to civil litigation. Unfortunately, they always get Congress to pass laws to protect the drug companies so that they can't be sued, for instance, on vaccines. If your child is permanently damaged and will be crippled the rest of their life because of a vaccine, you cannot sue the drug company, at least not until you've exhausted all of the federal courts and rules and regulations and committees and hearings, and by then probably you'll all be dead. So this is something that they've done. And every time they pass a law, they take away a little bit of freedom. And my concern, of course, is they're going to do so much damage that the health of the people are really going to suffer. What are your thoughts, Richard?
Well, you know, I mean, it's a complicated problem. I mean, look, the FDA is trying to help people. Theoretically, that's their mandate. But there's too much regulation. Most people, even people that are not big believers of alternative health, understand that the drug approval process is broken and has been perverted by the drug companies. I think that's pretty much established, and I think that the smarter people around are trying to figure out how to fix it. You know, this Marcia Angell had a very good idea, which I think should be publicized, which is that it shouldn't be enough for drug companies to show that a drug is not unsafe, and is more effective than a placebo. Because there are so many drugs that do basically the same thing, drug companies ought to be able to have to prove that the drug is actually better or significantly less toxic than what's already out there. And that would cut down on what's called the Me Too drugs. The drugs that just, there's three different kinds of erectile dysfunction medicine, eight different kinds of statins, and there's no need for that, and that clogs up the system, causes all kinds of inflated prices. So, you know, there are all kinds of changes that could be made from a regulation point of view that would help clean up the system.
Well, I don't want to get into a discussion of statins, but anybody would like to get our four tapes out on statins, or you know somebody who's on them, you really need to hear this. You need to understand it's one of the greatest scams of all time, in my estimation. Billions and billions of dollars and an awful lot of people permanently damaged by what they've been taking. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Mr. Richard Jaffe, and we're talking about the bioidentical hormones, and of course the difficulty that people are having. Certainly, the pharmacies that compound these products, and now they're going after the doctors. And it's really a matter of intimidation. If the doctors are intimidated, why are they not going to utilize these products, which are beneficial for their patients? And there certainly is no evidence that they are harmful, is there?
Well, no. I mean, there isn't. They've been widely used for, you know, 10, 20, 30 years, and there's no evidence of any harm. I mean, whereas I think it became pretty clear early on that people that were taking these these regular hormone replacement therapies were getting different kinds of cancer at a much higher rate. So, I mean, no, I mean, by and large, the people that take bioidentical hormones are very satisfied. I mean, they just, you don't have a lot of the side effects that you do for regular hormone replacement therapy.
And I think it's important people understand that, of course, there's an increased incidence of cancer and certainly of heart disease with taking the commercial, and we're talking about the hormones that come from horses. Wouldn't it be far better if something that was identical to your own hormones than a hormone that would be good for horses but not necessarily for human beings?
Right, and also they're more tailored. And you know, the other aspect of this is, as we become more sophisticated in our knowledge, what the medical profession is starting to realize, at least, you know, the anti-aging docs, is that what you have to do, there's no one size that fits all. There's a combination of hormones that have to be given in order to have the optimal effect, and that could be estrogens, part of it's progesterone, and part of it's even testosterone. So I think the new thing in medicine is the use of these bioidentical hormones not only to fight the symptoms of menopause, but also to return women to optimal health. And the same thing applies to men with the use of testosterone and other hormones and health. So that's kind of like the next step.
Well, is there a bioidentical testosterone?
Well, yes. I believe that testosterone is available. The bioidentical hormone issue is primarily with the estrogens, but you know, there the issue is the delivery system where the drug companies get the patents.
Hold that thought for just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Mr. Rick Jaffe. We were just talking about the fact that the FDA is doing everything they can to suppress and prevent doctors from using the bioidentical hormones for women going to the menopause, whereas, you know, they can take the estrogens, the horse estrogens that come from the pregnant mare's urine, and of course they do allay the symptoms, but there are all sorts of complications. They're carcinogenic, and rather than, of course, what they're trying to do is block the use of the bioidentical hormones, and there's no evidence they do any harm. And there's all sorts of evidence that the proprietary estrogens put out by Wyeth do a great deal of harm, but they're trying to block the harmless ones and promote the dangerous ones, which really doesn't make sense. But so much of what's going on in the world doesn't make sense. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And Mr. Jaffe has called in, of course, to consult and to assure the doctors that the FDA doesn't have the authority, even though they're more or less threatening the doctors, doing everything they can to pressure them, you know, to make their life miserable if they dare to do what's good for their patients or what they believe is good for their patients. Richard, do you want to get your website out there? And what I've forgotten the title of your book, although we carry
it. Oh, right. It's Galileo's Lawyer.
Galileo's Lawyer. And
that's my book, and it's about all these health practitioners. It's a story of many alternative health maverick health practitioners, including Dr. Brzezinski, as we talked about before.
It's really a great book. I enjoyed reading it thoroughly. And we do carry that because we think it's a great book. But what about your website?
Oh, it's any combination of Rick or RichardJaffe.com.
All right, fine. And, of course, what will they find if they go to your website?
Well, information about the alternative health and, you know, how it's regulated and all. I mean, for laymen, there's not much. It's mostly about how health, you know, alternative docs are regulated and the different aspects of it. But for the book, either your website or from you or from Amazon or the book's website is galileoslawyer.com.
All right, fine. My telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But right now, let's go to Paula, who's calling from Florida. Hi, Paula. How are you doing?
Well, we're having a rough time. My husband, due to the MSG, we had to rush him to the hospital.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
And anyway, I have... He started having angina pains, and he'd been acting strange. This stuff affects your brain, too.
Well, I hope that you're going to not let him get that MSG. You've got to be
careful. Yeah, I took the bread back to the store, and I went and got the organic bread. But anyway, the thing is, I have filed charge against the FDA.
All right, fine. Well, do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Well, the thing is that I think that everybody, him, you, everybody needs to do what they can to shut these people down. Because they're nothing but murderers.
You're talking about the FDA?
Yeah.
Well, I think there may be some good people working there, but I think there's some people that are not doing what's best for the people. That's the trouble, because there is a very definite incentive to block competition. I believe in competition. I think that that's what gives us better products. But when you can use the government to block competition, that's a dangerous precept. Would you agree with that, Richard?
Oh, sure. You know, and then, the problem is that... there's always this tendency to try to overregulate. So, I mean, you know, I hope your husband's all right, but obviously you have to be very wary about any kind of product with MSG.
Well, my brother-in-law just died of aspartame poisoning, and he died a horrible death.
Well, I'll tell you what we need to get people to understand the danger of aspartame MSG and learn how these cute little names. And you think it says doesn't have any MSG, it's just got natural flavoring.
Oh, yeah.
Or it's got, you know, vegetable products in it. You know, of course, what they're really talking about is MSG. Okay, anything else you want to say before we let you go, Paula?
Well, the thing is, I just want to, you know, let everybody know they need to get on Dr. Martini's website, WNHO.net, and get all the information they can. We've got to get everybody involved in this.
All right,
we've
fine.
Got to get stopped.
All right, fine. Well, because that's basically Betty Martini's website. Mm-hmm. But Betty does a wonderful job as far as aspartame and MSG. God bless. Thanks very much for calling.
Okay, hon. All right, bye-bye.
Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And we're talking with Mr. Richard Jaffe, who is the author of Galileo's Lawyer. Galileo's Lawyer. It's a good read. It's good enough that we carry it. We also carry Marcia Angel's book, What You Should Know About the Drug Company. She's on the staff at Harvard. She wrote a book when she was working as the editor of the New England Journal of Medicine. And boy, did they come after her. They made her life miserable, I'll tell you, because she dared to tell the truth and speak up for the patients. Well, basically, of course, Richard, what's the next step? I think that the FDA will back away, or do you think that they're going to keep after this so they can destroy the competition for Wyeth and now for Pfizer? They just bought Wyeth for $68 billion.
Oh, I think they're going to keep on fighting and trying to put this out. You know, a lot of this has to do also just with turf. So the FDA doesn't like the fact that the compounders are doing something in effect without their permission. So a lot of it's really just turf war. So I don't think the war isn't over. I think we won a couple battles. And eventually what has to happen is Congress has to step in. I mean, this whole thing started because Congress passed a law that protected the compounders, which protected the doctors and the patients. But then a couple courts overturned part of the law. So we're in a very chaotic situation from legalese-wise because we don't know, or the FDA is exploiting these court decisions to say that there is no new FDA law and therefore they can do what they want. So Congress really has to step in and clarify the law.
But if Congress passes the law, then the courts come along and they do away with the law, and then Congress passes the law, and then courts could come in again. Where does it stop?
Well, I mean, that's the problem. And you know, the irony is, it is complicated, because what happened is the compounders sought to invalidate the advertising restrictions in this FDA Modernization Act, because this law, restricted compounders from advertising their products because they're not drug manufacturers. They created some exception that, look, you can make products for individual doctors, you know, based on a prescription. So maybe you could even argue that the compounders got a little greedy and they felt that the advertising restrictions were unconstitutional. And the courts agreed with them. Even the Supreme Court agreed with them and held that Congress didn't have the power to stop compounders from providing truthful information. So in a way, I mean, the Supreme Court was right. Compounders wanted to give truthful information about their products. The FDA tried to stop it. And then then the courts agreed with the compounders. But what happened is, then the issue is, well, what happens to the rest of the law? Right? So they struck down the part of the law about advertising. Well, the FDA took the position that the whole rest of the law is invalid, including the part that gave the compounders the right to make the stuff that's not FDA approved. And that's kind of what happened. And now there's a disagreement between two different courts as to whether the rest of the law is valid or not. And the two courts have taken different positions. So there's what's called a conflict in the circuit authority with respect to whether the FDA Modernization Act is in force or not. So, and the Supreme Court hasn't yet reached the issue, and either the Supreme Court or Congress has to make a decision.
But, of course, you know, the thing that bothers me, Richard, is, you know, so many of the congressmen are getting political donations from the drug companies.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
From
they
the lobbies. And, of course, you do not give, you know, $50,000 or $25,000 to a congressman who is not going to vote in your favor. I mean, I think we ought to do away totally with any gift at all or any payment from any corporation that has a vested interest in the legislation.
Oh, it's horrible. I mean, I think the worst example, as we talked about before, was the idea that Medicare cannot negotiate with pharmaceutical companies about price is just appalling. The VA can negotiate, insurance companies negotiate, but the Medicare, which is the largest purchasers of drugs in the world, is barred by your congressmen from negotiating a cheaper price. I mean, that's just appalling. The drug companies just bought the whole Congress.
And of course, I hate to say it, but we have many times the finest legislators in Washington, D.C. that money could buy. And
well,
until we can, of course, take the profit out of this, you know, they got this so-called TARP legislation, $700 billion for Wall Street, from Henry Paul's got through, with $150 billion of bribes. They added on to the original $700 just to buy the congressman. Now, that is immoral, and yet where is the outcry from the people? But what we need, of course, is to get away from rewarding congressmen and giving them money so they can get reelected, or giving them money for heaven only knows what happens. And you can buy an awful lot of congressmen for, well, they only had to buy 55 congressmen for $150 billion. I mean, that's what it was really all about, $150 billion rewards the congressmen who would vote that way. And we seem to have lost all concepts of justice or right or wrong or what's good for the people or what's good for the country. It's what's good for me and what's going to get me reelected. Or, you know, of course, I remember Lyndon Johnson went to Congress from Texas. He had to borrow money to get back there after he was elected to Congress. And when he returned, To Texas, he was one of the richest men in the state, simply on legislators and the senator's salary.
Oh, he's a very hard worker.
A very hard worker. Yeah. Of course, you're from Texas, so you know the stories of Lyndon Johnson there.
Yeah, no one could understand how he made all these millions of dollars just working as a congressman.
All right, fine. Well, something like Hillary Clinton, you know, who made $100,000, in commodities, and she could never explain how she could possibly have made that money. Somebody suggested, if Hillary could make $100,000 in commodities, maybe we ought to give her some money from the Treasury. Maybe she could make enough to pay off the national debt. But I don't think she really would want that, take that on. And, of course, it was really just all a gift to her. But, of course, they weren't going to go after Hillary because she took a bribe. Do you know how much money has been given to Bill Clinton's foundation since he has a foundation? And I was reading the other day, $492 million, almost $500 million, he's collected from government leaders all throughout the world. That's just for his foundation. That's over and above the $110 million that he and Hillary made just from hard work since they left office. When are the American people going to understand that we have the finest politicians that money could buy? $492 million. And anybody wants to check it, we've got the article out of the Wall Street Journal. I was just floored when I read that because I read a lot of papers. It was the only time I ever read what everybody was so concerned about. But anyway, we're getting off the topic there. Anyway, Richard, is there anything that our listeners can do to help you?
Well, I think just be aware of the problem for now. This is really one small battle just for people's freedom, right? So this is in one sense, this is kind of a no-brainer because these products are basically, they're not harmful. They're a lot better than the stuff that's out there commercially. But, right now it's just a battle. There's no lawsuit yet. There might well be, and then we're trying to basically force the FDA to back down, and we'll see.
Well, are you being backed by a group of doctors? You're just doing this sort of on your own because you think it needs to be done?
Well, a little of both. I mean, I work with a number of organizations, and, they're supporting the efforts, and as these doctors get attacked, I mean, I come in and help them out and try to convince them that the FDA is wrong and try to get the FDA to back down, and so far that's proved successful, and we haven't had to litigate any case yet, and that's really the best option. Even though I'm a litigator, I mean, the best way to resolve a problem is just to force the other side to back down and not to go to court. An old mentor of mine used to say, if you got to go to court, you're already in trouble.
All right, fine. Well, because you're coming at it from a lawyer's point of view, and you've represented an awful lot of people in or associated with the medical profession. How long have you been doing it now?
25 years.
All right, fine. Well, of course, I'm just so pleased you were able to help some of these people who are really, of course, under what I feel is very unjust pressure from various government agencies. And really, there's simply nothing to me that really we should be more concerned about is the growing arrogance of the people in government as far as their willingness to go after people that for whatever reason, they just want to destroy them. And if you are targeted by the government, why, first, neither yourself or your family or anything you have is safe. And they can just run you right into the poorhouse because they've got unlimited funds. And government should never be that. Certainly, liberty and limited government were synonymous, and tyranny and total government are synonymous. Does anybody question which direction we're headed? So there's no legislation or anything at the present time. You just would like to get people aware of
it? It's just these little picket battles, these little tiny battles where the FDA pushes and we fight back. So, I mean, that's what's going on. But it's important that people know about this. And this is just one more instance where the government is just using its weight just to push people around.
And I think there's some people who believe that we have to have government to solve our problems. There are others of us who believe that government is our problem. Yes, we need a certain amount of government. You can't have anarchy. But at what point do you draw the line in the sand and say, we're going to limit the power of government? Well, that's what our founding fathers did when they wrote the Constitution. And they limited what the federal government could do. And it seems that the people in Washington, D.C. don't believe in the Constitution. And they're going to do whatever they want to. and whatever the people who are giving out the big bucks want to have done. And it is the corruption, certainly, of people by greed and by money that I think creates a lot of problems, whether they work for government or whether they're in Congress. And how are we going to change that? Is there any way it can be done, Richard? Because this is the thing that plagues me as I see this wonderful country being deluged just by this massive bureaucracy that continues growing like a fungus, on a hot day.
I don't know. I think that's above my pay grade. I mean, I'm like a sergeant in the, like a platoon leader in the trenches. You know, those are big questions, and that's a big problem. I mean, how do you change it from within? Because the problem is these Congress folk are only elected for 2 years, and as soon as they get in, they've got to start raising money for the next election. And the people with the money are the companies, the drug companies and the other companies. So, I mean, I don't know. It's like a chicken and the egg. I mean, how do you solve a problem where basically the legislators that come in are just keep on getting bought and paid for by the big interests?
Well, I think that if they get money from a drug company, they should recuse themselves and not vote on anything having to do with drugs. If they're getting big money from a manufacturer, they should not vote on anything having to do with that manufacturer.
But of course, then you'd have nobody voting.
Absolutely.
Because they all get money.
Well, of course, I remember what I think it was Mark Twain who said, no man's life or property are safe when Congress is in session. Maybe we could cut it down to about 15 days a year, and maybe we'd all be a lot better off. I think it was Ron Paul who said that the day that the Congress does the most for the American people is the day of the Republican-Democrat baseball game when Congress is not in session. And I'm sure he said this with tongue in cheek, and yet I think there's an awful lot of wisdom in that. I think that unfortunately we have an awful lot of people who are doing an awful lot of things that they really don't understand. And they keep passing legislation. For instance, they put MTB in our gasoline and mandated it, either that or ethanol, and because we found out the MTB was carcinogenic and creating all sorts of problems. Then it cost them, hundreds of billions of dollars to get rid of the MTB that they'd put in and all the damage it did to the water system.
Oh, absolutely. That turned out to be worse. That cure was worse than the original problem.
But you'd think that intelligent people would have avoided the original problem. Well, of course, our guest, of course, is Mr. Richard Jaffe. You've got about 2 minutes to wrap up the program for us.
Well, I mean, like I say, right now, this is just one small battle against the FDA on behalf of docs and these compounding pharmacists. The bigger problem, I think, is that the FDA is broken, and it needs to be fixed. I mean, Daschle's coming in. Who knows? Maybe he'll help. But what they have to do is get rid of the influence of the pharmaceutical companies. I think that's the most important thing. And then they have to lighten up on the restriction that they have on all these complementary and alternative practitioners, and I think that would go a long way. And I think the most important thing is we have to change the whole medical model, and I think people are starting to realize that. We're too much focusing on treatment of diseases and not preventing illnesses and not creating a healthy lifestyle. So I think that's really what it's going to take to solve a lot of these healthcare problems.
Well, I certainly would tend to agree with you, but, of course, that has got to be up to the individual. And as long as, of course, he has the attitude, well, I'll just go ahead and do whatever I want to, and then when I get sick, my health insurance company and my doctor is going to come in and get me well. And he's got to really design his life about staying well, and certainly health and nutrition is so important.
Well, that's education. I think that a lot of that has to do with education, and I think that the doctors can be the advocates for a new medical model, instead of being mired in just the old model of having your prescription pad and treating someone with a disease after he's already has a problem. I mean, I think it's a big paradigm shift, and it hasn't really started yet, but we know what we have to do. It's just going to take a lot of effort and a lot of education to do it.
Well, of course, that's why I do what I do. At least we, so our listeners, have a pretty good idea about health and what they should be doing, and we hope, of course, they'll take care of their own health and then maybe even begin to educate their doctors. Richard, God bless you. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Richard was saying something I really believe, and that is that what we need, of course, is emphasize more health rather than treatment. And so if you haven't read the books that we carry, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, you need to get it. Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life by Dr. Russell Blaylock is very important. Our four tape set on life-saving secrets for interviews with Dr. Blaylock. If you want to know about Alzheimer's disease, we have a four-tape or four-CD set on Alzheimer's with interview with Dr. Blaylock, and then we have a new four-tape set on vaccine update, 2009, with an interview with Dr. Blaylock, and, of course, other interviews as well. We carry Dr. Blaylock's book, Excitotoxins, The Taste It Kills. And you've got to understand that excitotoxins are MSG and aspartame that they know are poisonous. In fact, one reason we have pathological obesity is because it's directly related to aspartame. And, of course, so we have a lot of infertility. We have a lot of erectile dysfunction. We have a lot of problems directly related to these things that the government knows about it. And they're allowing it to happen. And you have to ask yourself, why? Well, this is what I do and why I do it, is to let you know the book, Excitotoxins, The Case That Kills, Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients. That's Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients by Dr. Blaylock. So we carry his three books, the four-tape set, Life-Saving Secrets, the four-tape set with only one of them with Dr. Blaylock, but it's called Alzheimer's Disease, and there are means to stop its progression. But you're not going to hear about this through regular channels. And then, of course, our new, great new 4-CD set on Vaccines Update 2009 with an interview with Dr. Blaylock. And then, of course, we have our material, certainly on magnesium, the miracle of magnesium. We have it to carry the book. You need to understand how important magnesium is as far as your health. You need to understand how dangerous the statin drugs are. We've got a great four-tape set on statin drugs. And I think we still carry the little book on statin drugs. You know, Lipitor, the most commonly used drug there, they tell you that there's a 30% decrease in heart attack and stroke if you take their drug. But how do they come up with the 30%? Well, if you give 100 people a placebo, why, of course, 3 will die. If you give 100 people the drug, only 2 will die. And the difference between 3 and 2 is 30%, isn't it? And that's how they've sold this. And, of course, they do not tell you all the complications that come with statin drugs. That's why you need to get this four-tape set. And we have got so much information on health. And we even carry some health products, the things that Barbara and I take on a regular basis. And I'll be 80 next month, and I'm still doing pretty well. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927 or 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today. We have, of course, Rick Chaffee's great book, Galileo's Lawyer. That's Galileo's Lawyer. We have the book by Dr. Marshall Angel, What You Should Know About the Drug Companies. And when you understand that, of course, this is a financial scam and it's a criminal activity, and a lot of what they're doing is truly criminal, but, of course, who's got to go after them when, of course, they were able to bribe the people in Congress and bribe the people in the Justice Department and bribe the politicians? And, yes, I hate to say it, but I even suspect at times they bribe the judges, but nobody ever gets prosecuted. Well, you can go ahead and just not pay your income taxes if you're Timothy Geithner, you know, member of the Trilateral Commission, member of the CFR, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, member of the Group of 30, and now Secretary of the Treasury. One of the major architects of the current financial collapse, and they put him in to cure the financial collapse that he created. We're in real trouble, ladies and gentlemen, but behind that are powerful spiritual forces, and if you haven't read The Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. We now have, of course, this great new DVD, The Eye of the Phoenix. The Eye of the Phoenix is now available simply by calling 1-800-54-